Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places, and I've placed those two scripture portions on the back of your insert in your bulletins. We'll begin by reading from Luke 8, the verses 22 through 25, and then from the book of Revelation, from the second last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 21, and I'll be reading the verses 1 through 4 from Revelation 21. But we're going to start this morning with our text, which is Luke 8, and I'll be reading verses 22 through 25. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." He awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased, and there was calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this, that he even commands even the winds and water, and they obey him?" Then let's turn to Revelation 21, first four verses. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Then I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" Thus the reading of God's word this morning from Luke chapter 8 and Revelation 21. I invite you to keep the outline there in front of you as well. Follow along to this morning's sermon message. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, throughout my life I have heard a good number of sermons preached on Jesus calms the storm. And almost always, my early days before the ministry, a sermon would often go something like this. Like the storm came upon the disciples, God can send unexpected storms upon your life. It may be the storm of a sudden loss of your job, or the storm of a sudden illness that you come to find out that you have with not many days to live. And you should know that Jesus is in the boat with you. One time, I heard a minister read this passage, and for the sermon that followed, he told the story of how he had recently had a serious heart attack. Someone happened to be there and did CPR on him to save his life. And after weeks in the hospital, he was now preaching his first sermon since the heart attack. He told the story how God had delivered him from that storm and how the storm that he went through helped him grow in his faith and his trust in Jesus. So I'm sure that you've heard sermons like that based on this text as well. And as I think back to those sermons that I've heard preached on this passage, I've come to realize that everything that was said in those sermons is true. We can find from other passages in Scripture how God cares for his people, how God helps them through difficult times and troubles that come their way, especially unexpected things. But the sermon like that interprets this passage only along the lines of a horizontal storm. A storm that speaks of something that happens in your earthly life, but it misses the point of what this particular passage is telling us, something more than a horizontal problem, an earthly problem. something more than a moralistic application to your life. What the disciples went through is what you go through. The storm that they faced is like a storm that you face. And such an interpretation like that misses the point of what this passage is really about. The point of this passage is not to help us and remind us how to get through the storms that come upon our earthly life. But the point is about what is being revealed to the disciples and to all of us about Jesus from a heavenly vertical perspective. For thus far in the Gospel of Luke, we have witnessed how the disciples have listened to Jesus preaching, how they've witnessed him driving out demons and healing the sick and even raising a dead young boy, sending them all back to their life, having been healed and living their life as before. But when Jesus calms the storm, something more is being revealed about him, which we will see in our sermon today. Something about him, which is even more significant than calming the storms in your daily life. Let's start this morning then with what Jesus does. You can see in verse 22 that the Lord is getting into a boat with his disciples, likely one of their fishing boats. We're told that he has spoken to them, directing them, saying, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." He is directing them, he is guiding them, and they are following his leadership and his direction. Then we're told that he said to them, they set out as he said, and they sailed. As he sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down upon the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." In other words, they were dying. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was calm. Now again, this is not the kind of storm in which someone has suddenly lost their job. This is not the kind of storm in which someone has fallen critically ill and has to go to the hospital in an emergency situation. This is the kind of storm that has come from the realm of creation, from the realm of nature itself. This is the kind of storm that compares to somebody being in the path of a hurricane, or somebody in the path of a tornado, or a powerful earthquake and tsunami that is on the way. The kind of storm that is taking place within the creation on the earth itself. And Jesus and his disciples have gotten into this boat on the Sea of Galilee, a typical day, a day like one of our days, but suddenly a windstorm comes upon them on the Sea of Galilee. These disciples, experienced fishermen they were, had been on the lake, fishing this lake many times in their boat. They had been through storms like this before, but this storm, we're told, is especially severe. The waves from the wind have gotten so big that the boat is filling up with water. Verse 25 tells us they were in danger to the point that they wake up Jesus, who seems to be sound asleep, and they say to him, "Master, Master, we are perishing." In other words, they were about to die. And in verse 24, we're told Jesus awoke, rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was calm. In the midst of the powers of natural revelation, in the midst of the forces of creation, the wind and the waves, in the midst of the power from nature's realm that could cause death, Jesus awoke from his sleep, and by the command of his voice, stop the wind, stop the waves, and they all ceased at his word. so much for what the TV news reporter will tell you, that is, this Mother Nature doing her thing, causing destruction on the earth. So much for the teaching that says, well, the earth is evolving and the weather changes are caused by some kind of environmental warming, and we can't explain why all these natural disasters are taking place all over the world. It's somehow coming from within the earth itself. In this passage, Jesus is standing up in the boat and demonstrating that he is Lord and power of all the realms of this earth. He can stop a tornado at his word. He can stop a hurricane at his word. And he can halt an earthquake and tsunami by the command of his voice, just like he did in this passage on the boat that day. If you were to go to your computer and type in the words geoengineering, you would see that there are all kinds of people today who believe that they have now created a weather technology available to perhaps manipulate the weather or turn the weather into a weapon, that somehow they can spray something into an existing storm and make that storm even more severe than before. That somehow, through a nuclear explosion in the earth, they can somehow cause an earthquake. Perhaps that's what happens in North Korea or other countries. The kind of thinking goes. No one knows for sure whether that is true, even those who have put such things and theories on the internet. But one thing I can tell you is absolutely true. There will never be any man-made technology that can stop a weather storm like Jesus did in the fishing boat on that day at the sound of his voice. Jesus calms the storm and delivers the disciples from what they thought was certain death. And having experienced that, he asked them a question in verse 25. And look at the question he asked. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" Now notice he doesn't say to them that because you responded that way, you don't have faith. He asked them, "Where is your faith?" That implies that they had some faith at some point, but now Jesus is asking, where is that faith, or where was that faith in the midst of that storm? So let's start, first of all, with what the disciples did right. And what they did right was they went to Jesus. In the midst of the storm of the sea, in their fishing boat, which was filling up with water around them, they thought they were going to die, that all was over. Jesus is sleeping at the stern, and it seemed to them that he wasn't paying attention, that he didn't care at all, that somehow they were fighting for their lives, and he was sound asleep at the stern, didn't seem to be worried about a thing. And when they had given up trying to save themselves, they went to him saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." So they did the right thing, didn't they? They went to Jesus, but the problem was that their faith that they had was immature. It had not yet been complete. It seemed perhaps that their faith was as Jesus described in the parable of the sower in verse 13. In that verse, Jesus is describing the seed, the word of God that falls on the rocky soil, the soil which represents a person's heart. In verse 13, Jesus said, the seed that falls among the rocks, it's a seed that hears the word, receives it with joy, but it has no root. And they believe for a while, and in a time of testing, like a storm that comes upon them, it falls away. Jesus went on to describe the kind of soil, verse 15, that we want to see in terms of faith. The kind of soil in which there are those who hear the word, hold it fast in their heart, in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. In the midst of a storm, they did not demonstrate the kind of heart and faith that Jesus had demonstrated with his being asleep on the boat. Their faith had seemed, in the midst of the storm, to have failed them. And Jesus now is calling them, saying, where is your faith, the faith that you seem to have had? And yet, they turned to Jesus, and Jesus was showing them what was missing from their faith. Their faith was immature. It was not yet complete. Something had to be shown to them from a vertical perspective concerning who he was and what they needed to understand about him and about their lives. Jesus did not just come to perform these miracles they had witnessed because somebody was in pain or somebody was sick and they needed to be healed, and now they could go back to their families and their normal life and live on as before because Jesus had healed them. That's not what it was about. Jesus has come from the eternal realm. Jesus has come from heaven itself. And they need to understand that as they live their lives, they belong to him, and that is the realm that he has come from. They did not understand that because they belong to him, no matter what might happen to them in this life, even in the midst of a storm, even if in the midst of their perishing, their eternal destination could not change because they belong to him. And he is Lord of heaven and earth. And so we're told that they responded to the calming of the storm that they had witnessed, asking themselves a question about Jesus. Remember, their faith was immature. There was something about Jesus they had to understand, and the question reflects that follows their own question, that follows Jesus' question for them. Verse 25, and they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they do not obey him? When Jesus calmed the storm, he has demonstrated to his disciples that he is God, that he is the creator, the sustainer of all things in this world. Jesus is God, the creator of this world in which we live, as the second person of the Godhead, a creation that he spoke, and it was so. Remember from the book of Genesis, at creation, God spoke, and it was so. God spoke through his Son. And we see that in the verse that I've put there on your outlines this morning from John chapter 1, the verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word. The beginning is creation. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things that were made through him and without him was not anything made that was made. The Word of God now has become flesh. The Word, the Son of God, who was present at creation and spoke the Word, now has become flesh, and in Luke chapter 8 is present upon the earth. He who created the earth has the power to control the things that take place on the earth. By his word, he can order any part of this creation. He can stop a storm by the rebuke of his word. He who created this world has the power in the words that he speaks to control the world. He is the creator, the sustainer of all that takes place. The children's hymn goes like this. He's got the whole world in his hands. That is who he is. and the disciples, still at this point in the gospel, immature in their faith, are learning that. And when Jesus calms the storm, he is teaching them that. Well, what is it then that Jesus has come to bring? Again, as you look at the last part of verse 25, we see it as they continue in their question. Their question is, who then is this? And it goes on to say that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. At the beginning of the book of Genesis, when Jesus spoke and this world was created by the power of the Spirit, there were no threatening storms, no hurricanes, no tornadoes or earthquakes or tsunamis when the world was created. In the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 2, Adam and Eve do not have to fear that somehow a storm is going to come upon them or an earthquake unexpectedly, and they could be killed by some sort of dangerous storm. Sin at creation had not come into the world. The creation at that point was not cursed by God. But then, as we read in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve fell into sin and sin came into the world, God cursed the created order. The covenant head, Adam's first sin, brought about a curse upon the creation itself, and that is the world we continue to live in today. We live in a world of tornadoes and hurricanes, unexpected earthquakes followed by tsunamis, volcanoes, all of which have risen up throughout human history and have taken life, human life, because of the curse of sin. But the last book of the Bible tells us that in heaven, when all things are made new, there are no dangerous storms because of the curse of sin. The book of Revelation tells us that when John looked into heaven in Revelation 21, he saw, verse 1, a new heaven and a new earth. He saw that the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. The end of verse 1 tells us that there was no more sea. No more unexpected storms upon the sea. There is no sea in heaven. John saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with his people, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away." In heaven, there is no curse upon the creation for sin has been paid for, sin has been removed. In heaven, there is no threatening storms or earthquakes. What comes when he comes again will be a new heaven and a new earth where the threat of such things has been removed. But then at Jesus' first coming, what has he come to bring? Jesus came down from heaven to earth as the second Adam to take the curse of sin, even the curse which was upon the creation, upon himself. He came down to die on the cross so that the wrath of God for sin would be poured out upon him, so that man's sin would be paid for, that the curse of God's created world would be removed. And now we wait for his return, when all things will be made new. But in the meantime, when the storm came up while he was on the boat, there was no panic in him, for he came from that realm. He looked at the storm that had come up from heaven's perspective, from a vertical perspective, not a horizontal looking. When he looked up and he stood to rebuke the wind and rebuke the waves and everything ceased and was calm, he gave to his disciples and he gave to all of us a taste of the world to come. Because in the realm from which he has come, the realm from which he comes to bring all of his people, there is no curse. There is no destroying storms. In heaven, people don't get killed by tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes. There is no death because sin has been paid for and the curse removed. And that is what Jesus shows his disciples and us when he calms the storm. If you only look at this passage from the perspective of how God saves you from the earthly storms in your life, that when you call him because he's in your boat, he will help you and deliver you from whatever comes your way, you will have missed the point. The point of Luke 8, when Jesus calms the storm, is to help you see how the Creator of heaven and earth has come down in the flesh to this world. Of how that by his word, he controls the realm of God's creation, even a storm. And he has come to bring you to a place where there is no storm, where there is calm and peace forevermore in him, where there is no death, where there is no crying, where there is no pain, but only the grace of God in eternity with him forevermore. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this passage which reminds us of our Savior and who he is. For Lord, as we look around us in our lives, we see all kinds of difficulties. We look around us, Lord, and we see all kinds of things that we look to you to find your help. But Lord, this passage this morning reminds us of something far greater. It reminds us of our Savior, who is Lord of this whole world and this creation, that we see in him and his actions, his power. We see in him a foretaste of the world to come. Father, we long to go to a place that we can be with our Savior forevermore, that we can be in a place where there is no death, no crying, no pain, but we can be in the presence of our risen Savior forevermore. Grant us, Lord, the kind of faith that comes to this kind of maturity, that, Lord, in the midst of whatever comes our way, we may be at peace. Because we know that we belong to our Savior. We know that he has brought us into that eternal realm. And no matter what happens to us in this world, we are his both now and forevermore. We pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.